So tonight, glad to see you all here. Beautiful outside, isn't it? I thought, man, it's so nice out tonight. It's like someone's going to take advantage of it, right? But now we're going to be in the house of God with each other, right? This evening, we've got someone very special who's going to come up and minister to us, give us a word. Again, we're continuing on our revival cultures. Every month, if you don't know, we have a revival culture that we are speaking about on midweeks. This month, our revival culture is honor. Honor. And you may have a lot of ideas about what honor is or what honor isn't. You know, the world will tell you that you'll get my honor if I feel you deserve it, right? Have you ever had that thought or know one who thinks that thought? Well, if they're honorable to me, or if they do this or this or this, then I'll give them honor. I'll give them respect. But the word of God and the revival culture of honor has a little bit different. How many know that the kingdom of God is kind of upside down? It's not what the world thinks. The world has its set ways, but the kingdom of God is kind of upside down. It's a little bit different. So tonight, I would like to introduce our very special speaker guest, who's going to join us up here right now, and he's going to give you a word. I heard it last night. It was good. It was powerful, and it's from his heart, and I know his heart. You know, it's good when you know someone's heart, you can trust them, right? If you know someone's heart, I know where his heart is. I know where that person's coming from. Well, tonight you're going to hear the heart of a young man who has been in the ministry here at church on the North Coast for quite a while, and kind of grown up here, and I love him. I appreciate him so much. So I'd like you to welcome to the platform this evening, Mr. Elijah Frazier.
Before I begin, I would like to, not for sure I'll be up here the whole night, but I would like to address something that I feel in the atmosphere, if that's okay. But I feel a spirit of doubt and uncertainty in the atmosphere. I don't want you to get afraid, because it's something that I want to address. And I feel God telling me that there are people here who have a relationship with Christ, or who have had a relationship with Christ, and they are asking him the question, why? Why? I've had this relationship with you. Somewhere along in my life, I made the decision to give my life to you, and now I have a lot of questions. Why this? Why that? I feel that very strongly in the atmosphere, and if I can get a little more specific, I feel it down these 4 to 5 chairs right here. So I don't know who I'm talking to right here, but from here to the young lady in the white jacket, I feel it. And I feel that you still love God, you still trust God, but based on the things that people have told you and shown you and preached to you, there's some confusion there. If you're this God, why am I going through this, or why am I experiencing that? Is that fair? Am I correct? I don't want to be talking out of myself. Am I correct here? Okay. So the word that I have for that is, God is saying that the promise I gave to you, I'm going to see that it comes true and that it hits your life. But simply due to the other fact of the other gods that are in the world, when you come to the end of what you're going through, you're going to know without the shadow of a doubt that it was him and nothing or no one else. A lot of times we go through life and we experience God, and things start to waver, and then we get other gods in our life: money, social status, degrees, education, relationships. And God's going to see to it and make sure that when you come to the end of what you're going through, you're going to know that it was Him and nothing else that brought you out. Amen. So, now we can do this. Due to a recent series of events in my personal life, I was forced to do two things. I was forced to take a more concentrated walk with God. We have a general relationship with God. We have that relationship with God. God, you're the head of my life. I don't just go to church. I serve you in and out. We have this general thing with life, but it's almost the general relationship that we have with Christ as in a student amongst other class members as a teacher is teaching us in front of the class. But then something happens with one specific student and the teacher has to take that student out into the hallway and speak to that student directly. Maybe I was the only one that happened to, but... So sitting amongst other believers, I don't know if I was just too talkative, I don't know if I was not focusing or not paying attention, but God had to pull me up out of class and take me into the hallway and say, let's have a little talk. The second thing, and our mothers did it, teachers did it, but after they would talk to you or chastise you or however that would happen, they would say, now you sit there and think about what I just told you, or you sit there and you think about what you did. So the second thing that took place in my life is that I had to sit there and think about what I did, and I was forced to take a look at myself. I want to get to this so bad. So, the question that I have, let me take one step back. So the beginning of these certain series of events, the way that it started, I knew for a fact that this wasn't on accident. I knew that just based on the sheer force and velocity of these events hitting me, I knew that something else was taking place. I was intelligent enough to at least pick up that part. And as soon as it began to happen, I said, okay, God, I hear you. Is it possible that I can get out of this? And He said, no, we're going to go through this. So as soon as that happened, kind of had an oh crap moment. But I said, I'm going to have to take note of this. I'm going to have to log this. Because first of all, based on the way this thing started, I cannot go through this again. And I will not go through this again. So I'm going to focus and pay attention on what's taking place right now. And I am going to jot down and journal every single thing that was going on. Because I had this one I had to learn. And it's even worse when God has brought it to you before and you didn't get it the first time. So it's kind of like the punishment that escalates between yourself and the parent. Okay, hey, your teacher called me, you know, don't do that, you know, this and that. All right, I don't have to tell you again. Okay, hey, your teacher called me again. Now, I meant what I said last time. Again, and it's a wrap. So I didn't listen. Put me on punishment, sat me in my room, I didn't listen. Got a spanking, I didn't listen. I just kept going. So this one, He had to make sure that it sank in. So the journaling and the logging that I did, I wrote to myself, and I'll share with you the things that I was telling myself. So tonight I'm not preaching or ministering to you. I'm ministering to myself, and you just so happen to be here. So the question that I have is, where's the honor? And a better question I might be able to ask is, where is your faith? So the first thing that I began to write down was this. Jesus' mission wasn't to focus or lose focus based on who supported, loved, or believed in him. His mission was to honor his Father, God, by doing what he was sent to earth to do. And this is what I was doing. This is what takes place sometimes. A lot of the time, we want to pray to God for blessing, so he gives us the opportunity to be blessed, and we step right over and avoid that opportunity. How? Because Matthew 5 and 9 says this. Blessed are the peacemakers. So God allows us to encounter an unpeaceful situation for an opportunity to make peace, but we drop our honor and we pick up our pride, miss out on our blessing, we keep complaining, and no one gets to see the power of God. We don't get blessed, and now we're all confused, and we cry out to God, God, where's my blessing? And he responds, where's my honor? See, here's the thing. If you're going to have honor, honor is more of a mission. Honor is more of a calling. So if you have honor, you have a duty. And that duty isn't... The definition of the word honor reads as this. High respect, esteem. Synonyms for this word are distinction, recognition, privilege, glory, kudos, cachet, prestige, merit, credit, importance, notability, respect, and more. The second part of this definition is privilege. Synonyms for that word are pleasure, pride, joy, compliment, favor, and distinction. See, a lot of times, God calls us to be who he has called us to be and not to be him. A lot of times God will call us into a situation or a calling in our life, and we say, okay, we don't step into our position. We want to step into his position and be him and not be ourselves. See when God calls you to honor, when he calls you to that calling, that mission, faith is attached to that. So the thing that we miss is that when God calls us to honor a person, a place, a thing, a relationship, our focus needs to only be on what he's asked us to do and shouldn't be contingent upon anything else. A lot of times we say, you know what, I like that. I really, really like that. I appreciate you calling me to do this. And you know what? I'm going to do this based on how I feel, not based on how faithful you are. The word honor is also a verb, which means action has to go into it. And it has to be acted out. Honor is a noun, but it is also a verb, meaning you don't just sit there. It's not stagnant. It's not idle. It's something that has to be acted out no matter what. If anybody knows me, just a little bit, sometimes I can be a little stubborn. Just a little bit. I can be a little stubborn, a little hard-headed, and I honestly just like when things go my way. And the best way for things to go 9 times out of 10, unless you just catch me on an amazing day, they have to go my way. Because it's the best way. So this whole honor thing comes into my life, and I'm researching this word honor. And I'm searching, and I'm searching, and I'm researching. I'm pulling books. I'm calling mentors. I'm looking up definitions. And one thing I could not find while researching the word honor were any contingencies, meaning that there is nothing that has to take place first for me to act in an honorable manner, meaning if I'm going to honor you, you have to honor me back. I am not going to do right by you. I am not going to be who Christ, who our God has called me to be because of the way you are treating me, because of what you're saying to me. Because honestly, you're my God and not him. And that's where the confusion comes in. We treat other people in our life like they are the ones who died on the cross for us, like they are the one that wakes us up every morning, like they are the one that heals and brings everything in our life to its proper position. We don't want God to be God. We want the relationships and the other people in our life to be perfect. And that's the one of the biggest mistakes that we can make, is expecting a perfect love from imperfect people. So it's like this, to make it very, very plain and very simple. If there's a relationship, there's honor, no matter what. Just like if there is breath, there is life. No breath, no life. No honor, no relationship. Because a relationship isn't based on how you feel. A relationship is based on how faithful he is to you. And if God has ever let you down, raise your hand. I didn't say if you feel like he's let you down. I said if he has actually let you down, raise your hand. So we come into the world and we begin to engage in these certain relationships, whether it's with a job or whether we're at college or church or school or no matter what it may be. And when God has called us to something, we base our responses on how people treat us and how we feel and act as if Christ didn't tell us what to expect. Mark 6 and 4 says this, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. So Jesus had a calling. And in his own home and in his own hometown, amongst the people that he knew, he still was betrayed and he still wasn't accepted, but he still got the job done. Because his focus wasn't on how people were treating him. His focus wasn't on what he received in return. His focus was on the calling that God had placed upon his life. And he knew for a fact that there is nothing on the outside of this calling that will change the definition of what God has called me to do. Yeah, but you know, this person, we've known each other for a very long time. A very long time. And I would expect you to treat me how I treat you. I would expect you to, I was there for you that one time when you had nobody else. Who did you call? You called me. When you were sitting there crying, who came over to the house late that night? That was me. And all these transactions of relationships and words and everything that happens, we get caught up in all of that. And not understand that the creator of this entire... See, God's sketch and his design is even bigger than our big picture. See, here's the thing. You have a creator of time who lives outside of it. He doesn't live inside of it. See, we did that. We created that measurement in time. And we like God to do it like this, when we want to, how we want to. And we want it to feel exactly like we want it to feel. And when that doesn't happen... We get all beside ourselves. We get all upset and we start to react and respond to people different way. And not understanding that we have a beginning and an end. He has no beginning and he has no end. So every single thing that's going on in your life, he was there before it began and he'll be there after it ends. So we have to understand that everything begins and ends with him. There's nothing on the outside of him because that starting point doesn't exist with him and that end point doesn't exist with him. But what we do is we want to take him from there and we want to put him inside of our time and say, I don't want you to operate like a God. I want you to operate like me, like a human. So I can understand you. And I believe today that's one of man's problems, is man doesn't want to believe anything. He wants to know everything. And that's one of the biggest faults right there. But see, here's the thing. If you knew everything, there would be no purpose for him. If you knew everything, there would be no reason for faith.
if you knew everything and you didn't need anyone. See, because if you know everything, you have an appetite that is already satisfied 100% of the time in every single area of your life, and you do not need a God. You don't need a Savior anymore. That defeats the whole purpose. So let's take a couple steps back. So why are we even here? Why did God even create this? This life, this world, these relationships that we had. It's the same reason parents do what they do on Christmas morning. Parents don't need to give you a gift. Parents don't need to decorate the home. This doesn't make or break them. Parents want to see the joy in your face and in your life. So don't get confused on by what life is throwing at you. God simply wants to see you happy. That's all there is to it. God didn't create us because he needed us. He created us because he desired us. He wants us. So the very same reason that you sneak out of the house while your child's at school and you go get that gift and you hide it in the attic or you hide it in the trunk so on Christmas morning you can surprise them and you can see the joy in their face and in their life is the very same reason that Christ created life and gave it to us. He wants to give us the best thing ever, and that's life. It's good, it's bad, it's ugly. But would you trade it for 1 second? Honestly, out of all the things that you've experienced thus far, would you actually say, you know what, I wish I could just give this whole thing back? Maybe at certain times and points in your life, yeah. But if you had a second to allow your spirit to settle, would you really give your gift back? No, you would not for a second. See, and that's an omnipresent and a magnificent God that can do whatever he wants, however he wants. But see, the word of God says that he who has began a work in you will complete that thing, and it will be perfect. And at the end of that, you will need nothing. But that's something you have to believe. That's not something you know. You don't have the proof of that. You have to believe it. So there has to come a point in your life to where you come to the end of yourself and to the beginning of him. You have to come to the end of what you know and step out on what you believe. You can only know so much, because if you know everything, now you're messing around in his territory. And that's not the setup. That's not the design. I said that to say this. God doesn't make mistakes. James 1 and 2 says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind, see, that's God just showing off his reach again. Hey, well, you know, when you get into, you know, a little relationship issue, you can come see me for that. But if you're having some trouble over in this area, you might want to find, you know, Buddha or, you know, somebody else to handle that. No, he didn't say that. He said, when troubles of any kind. Mental, spiritual, physical, financial. When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for joy. For you know when your faith has been tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect, needing nothing. God wants to bless you. And his word says, blessed are the peacemakers. So he gives us an unpeaceful situation to make peace, and we get blessed. So tell me how the power of God can be shown if nothing in life ever goes wrong. How can God show you who he is and what he can do and why you should ever trust him? If nothing in your life goes off the road. If nothing in your life goes unexpected. The power of God can't be shown to you or anybody else that needs him more. See, if we had a chance and if we designed it, honestly, we just want to be comfortable all the time. I don't want you to rock the boat. No, I want everything to go perfect. So why do you exist? The power of God needs its opportunity to be shown. That's the setup. That's the story. That's what we're all a part of. There was a story in the Bible and to where one of the young boys comes to Christ and he says, good master, what has this man done? What has his family done? How did he sin? Why is he getting, you know, this bad rap? Why is he sick? What did he do to deserve this? And Christ said, oh, he did nothing. I allowed it to happen just so my power and my glory could be shown. See, you have to understand that the God that you serve is a redeeming God. Any story you write might have to stay like that or may not work. See, God can put anything into play. He can rewind it. He can raise from the dead. He can reestablish. God is a redeemer, and he can do anything in your life at any single given time, no matter how big or small. See, we have all of these concerns with this person at our job and this person in our family and this relationship and this and that. And God is saying, has someone not told you about me? Do you not know what I'm in the business of doing? Do you not know what I desire to show you in the world? And our faith, it wavers. This is the same God that just by calling can raise from the dead. Let me give an example of the power of God. And of course, everybody knows Lazarus, but we know Christ called him from the dead. But do we know why Christ had to call him by name? The reason Christ, because he's got to be careful when he does these things, because his power is it's you can't fathom it, and we don't want to get into that. We don't have the time. But the reason that Christ called Lazarus by name is because if he would have just said, rise, everything dead in the earth would have came up. He had to call him by name. He had to get very specific, because if God just puts his power out there and just releases it, every dead thing out there will just rise up. It might even reach up past the atmosphere. It might even touch the glory. It might even touch the kingdom of God. Might even reach heaven. Oh, whoa, how do we know that would happen? Look, he had to confuse the people on the Tower of Babel, because they were going to reach him. So he has to get very specific. So in the situation that you're in tonight, your situation, he's the same God then, today, he'll be the same God tomorrow. Philippians 1 and 6 says this, and we'll just confirm. And I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day of Christ's return. So you're stumbling and you're tripping. And John 10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy knows this one thing, that if he can distract you from loving and showing honor, that's another instance that you and the world will not have the opportunity to see, hear, or feel the power of God. Because that's what it's attached to. What does this have to do with honor? Honor requires faith. Because when you're honoring someone, everything isn't going to go the way that you want it to. Everything isn't going to feel the way that you want it to. So you have to believe that God still has his eye and his hand on you, and you're going to be okay no matter what they're saying, no matter what they're doing. Because your mission is to him and to his calling upon your life, not into what other people may say, hear, or feel about you. If you show honor, it's because you have faith. Showing faith regardless of what... Let me back up, because I'm not just going to leave that alone like that. Oh, we good. If you show honor, it's because you have faith. Showing faith regardless of what things look like, because you're focused on his faithfulness and not your feelings. In all actuality, the only two things that matter in your life is what God has called you to do, and you either doing that thing or not doing that thing. So a lot of times we feel like we're offended. We feel like we're dishonored. We feel like we're disconnected. And to be quite honest, you're none of those things. You're really just distracted, because nothing can get in your way. Nothing can stop you if you never take your eye and your focus off what God has called you to do. It's when you transfer your focus and your power to all these other people, places, and things around you, as if they are the ones that wake you up every morning, as if they are the ones that are putting the breath in and out of your lungs right now as you listen to the sound of my voice. They don't do that. Not the job, not the relationships, not the status. Nothing you do is based on anyone else around you but the God who has called you to do that thing. The things we desire are in our faith.
And I'll wrap up and I'll end with this. Mark 5 and 34, the New Living Translation. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." We know who I'm talking about. The woman with the issue of blood fighting through the crowd as Christ is walking through. She believed. She believed. She believed. She believed that if she would reach out and just touch the hem of it, not even him, just something touching him. That, I don't care what you say, that right there is good. The word of God says where two or three are touching and agreeing, there he will be in the midst. So you're talking about a God that's so powerful that you honestly don't even need to touch him. All you need to do is get near him and it'll hit you. And my question is this, because I believe every single jot and tittle in the Bible. My question is this, if Christ said to her, that woman, your faith has made you well. And this is just me. I'm wrong a lot. This is just a question. But if God says, woman, your faith has made you well, why are we attaching her healing to her touching his garment? Is it possible, just a question, is it possible that in her reach she was already healed just because she believed? Because he said, your faith has made you well. Not, hey, you touched me, now you're healed. He said, your faith has made you well. So my question is, inside of your comfort zone, whether it's for a job, a relationship, healing, no matter what it is, peace or understanding, can I ask you, what is it that you are reaching for in faith? And the only time that you'll actually reach out in faith is if you believe that God will take care of you. How does this tie into honor? Because you honor God by believing in him and trusting in him. That's where the honor comes in. God, I will honor you by trusting you. I have a lot of things to go on, but I don't have the things I would necessarily prefer, like seeing you in my house or in that situation, having you talk to the person I want to just read the riot act to. We don't have those things. So how can we honor him? By believing in him. If you love Jesus, raise your hand real quick. Bang. He loves you. Are you pleased with him? Is he pleased with you? The word of God says that it is impossible to please God without faith. So if he is pleased with you, my question is, what is the last thing you've done that has required faith? It isn't the things that we are doing day in and day out. It's not where we're comfortable at. It's not where we've settled at. Our faith is in the things that we might not quite know or may not be that understanding to us and in our mind. But God, this is what your word says, so I'm just going to step out on it. I'm going to believe. How much of that are we doing each day? I was in a situation one time in my life, and when I tell you I had some pointers and why people should have been treating me this way and why this should have happened and why that should have happened, and I just can't understand why all of these things are happening to me in my life. And I was sat down with somebody for counseling. I really desired help. And I'm just telling them, I mean, I've got points, things I've written down and all this sort of thing. And when I was done, they asked me this. How's your relationship with Christ? I'm like, what do you mean? I'm talking about the problems that I have here. I'm trying to get some stuff sorted out. I'm trying to get some things figured out. You're going to sit here and ask me, how's my walk with Christ? I'm good. We're not talking about that right now. I need to know how to fix this thing because I'm about to go crazy out here. How's your walk with Christ? Well, what does that have to do with honor? What does that have to do with my relationships? What does that have to do with anything in my life? Because God showed himself to me one time. It's kind of comical, but it was in the form of a tree. And the trunk represented, I am who I am all day long, every day. This trunk, this massive trunk, this tree is here. But when you come to me,
you get everything that branches off of me. So for every single branch and every single leaf, yeah, God is that, is not that general God, but when you come to God, every single thing that you need branches off of him in every single area of your life. So when I ask you, what's the last thing you've done that has required faith? When I ask you, how are you honoring God by showing faith? That is a part of the calling. Meaning that you can come to God and get everything that you're looking for, and he has the ability to give you everything that you need. So the distinction, not the distinction, but the difference came here for me. Remember, I'm talking to myself, not you. Because I know you guys are not. Okay. It doesn't matter if I'm loving and honoring only the ones who love and honor me. To me, in my eyes, that is very weak. And there is no such thing as a weak Christian, a weak believer. To sit there and love someone who loves me, anyone can do that. My question to you, do you honor God by showing your faith, and can you honor your fellow man by loving them regardless of how they make you feel? Because the people on the outside looking in know who you are, and they know who they are, and they're not dumb. They know what's going on. And at the end of whatever happens, at the end of that relationship, or as that relationship catapults and grows a little bit more, or maybe it just ends, they know that person, despite of what was going on, honored them and loved them regardless. There has to be a God. And now when they see the way you honor, now they have a reason to go to him, and the things in their life can now be taken care of. The hurt that needs to be erased, the healing that needs to take place, the peace of mind that needs to come into their life, the understanding that they need. That's how you share Christ. That's how you show honor amongst men and to God. And I'll end by saying this. When the day comes to where we're able to meet our Maker, our Creator, our Lord, and our Savior, we all want to hear those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." But that word "done," I'm big on words if you can't tell. I like to break things down so they make sense. When he says, "Well done," what is it that you did? What did you do for him to say, "Well done"? Because he said, amongst all the things, the greatest act, the greatest law is love. When you love, you show honor. When you honor people, it's because you have faith in him that he'll take care of you. So despite the personal things that are going on in your life, can you honor him by trusting him regardless of your situations? And can you continue to love those connected to you who are not perfect so that the world can see the glory and the power of God? If you do that, I can promise you this, that God will return the honor. And he will fill you up with everything that you need and want. And then he will make that cup, your cup of life, overflow to bless and take care of the people around you. None of us wish bad on each other. None of us want to see someone in despair or defeat. At the end of life, we simply want to see everybody well. We honestly, the heart that God has given us, we want everybody to do well. I guarantee you, if you step outside of your comfort zone, and the saying that I've heard, if you win on purpose, not because it feels good or because you know you're right and you just got to prove a point. No, do it on purpose, despite of how you feel. God will bless you. God will answer those things on your heart. The questions that you've asked God, he has not erased them. He has not forgotten them. He actually still remembers questions and prayers that you've prayed that you've already forgotten about. He hears that. But can you do the hardest thing that comes to man? Can you love those who may not necessarily love you back? Can you honor him by coming out of your comfort zone and doing that thing which is the passion on your heart? If so, you will get to the desired place in your life, and you will get to the place that God has called you, and you'll be able to pass it down from generation to generation. Lives will be changed because of you. Generations will be changed because of you. Cities, states. Amen?
God, we thank you so much. We thank you for this gift of life. God, although we may not understand everything, although we may not agree with everything, God, we're going to consciously make the decision to trust you. We are done with the enemy being able to track us down and locate us through unforgiveness, through harboring resentment. We cut those chains and we release those chains in our life so that those things may never return. God, right now we speak complete and total healing over our minds, over our bodies, over our families, over the ones we love, over the ones that may not love us. God, you've began a great work and we trust you to finish that work. You're the Alpha and you're the Omega. You're the beginning and you're the end. You're the creator of all things. We know that it all starts with you, and we know and we believe that it will all end with you. So God, we take every personal situation that may be hindering us and holding us back from the calling that you've placed on our lives, and we will honor you by stepping outside of our comfort zones and doing that thing that we are passionate about on our heart to bring glory and honor to you. God, right now, we release everyone that we may harbor unforgiveness for. God, right now, we release everyone that may have made us upset. God, right now, we release anything that is not like you and that does not line up with your word. God, because you've called us to freedom, and who are we to bind ourselves back up? We accept the freedom and the love that you've placed inside of our lives, Jesus. God, through us, people will be changed, lives will be changed. The world will be changed because of us, because of who you are and what you've shown us. God, right now, we thank you for everything that you're doing right now in our life and everything that you're going to do. We will mend those relationships on purpose. We will see to it that the people in the world around us see, hear, and feel the glory of God so that they may be healed, so that your love and your passion can spread like fire. God, it's not about us, and it's always been about you. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. We claim ourselves healed in every area of our life. We claim our personal cup overflowing in every single area of our life. Amen. Remember, you gotta love somebody, because no matter what you may think or feel, there is somebody out there that loves you. I like to say, what you know will only take you so far, but what you believe will take you the rest of the way. Next time we join together, invite someone. If you had the last of the best thing on earth, wouldn't you want to share it with someone that you love? Don't come alone next time. It's free. We do this without persecution. Not something a lot of other people can say. Sunday morning, we'll see you right here at 10 o'clock. And the next time we're here, we expect to see somebody with you. You're more than welcome to come and pray or rest in the presence of God. And as you're on your way out, give. That's how we do this. That's how this whole organization runs. Give and bless the house of God. He'll return it. Don't worry about that. I love you. Jesus, we love you.